Well, I'm going to exhort you over the offering, so open up again just for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. I want to look at one verse. And I'm not even going to guesstimate how long this is going to take. After last night, I enjoyed Jim's exhortation this morning so much, I just wanted him to take the rest of the service, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're trying to understand that... Yeah, how many of you know we're in a better covenant established on better promises? And everything that I do, I try and do it from the New Testament, although I love the types and shadows from the old, but it is two different covenants. One of the best illustrations of that really is right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, go ahead and put a marker in John 12. We'll be there just a minute. And then Matthew 26. We'll be there eventually. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 7. Again, this is talking about their taking up an offering. And Paul is giving them guidelines on how to do it. He is writing this to tongue-talking, born-again, spirit-filled Christians in the same dispensation we are. And he says to them in verse 7, every man, as he purposes in his what? Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Now, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, those two words are in there for a reason, not grudgingly or of necessity. Necessity means you're not under the law anymore. I don't care how many times they preach it on TV. You're not cursed if you don't give. Jesus bore the curse for us. Now, I heard one preacher that I like a lot. I heard him. I really like this fellow. I actually give to his ministry every month, but he's a little off on this one area. And he was saying, well, somebody wrote in and asked a question. He's on a TV, you know, and he's going, are we really under the curse now? Isn't that curse under the law? Aren't we free from that if we don't tithe? Here he is on TV, and you can tell he's struggling with it. He says, well, I have to admit that Jesus bore the curse for us. And I guess, no, you're not under a curse if you don't tithe. But just think of all the bad things that are going to happen if you don't. And I'm going, it's the same thing. You're saying the same thing. You know, it's funny. It's just funny. If I told you who it was, everybody would know. And I love the guy. I really do. He does a lot of good things. We want to be a part of what he's doing. But let's look at this. Every man as he, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So last night I gave you the example. Most of you know that I have a Lily Cakes. That's my little granddaughter. She's 7 now, but let's go back to when she was about 4. Now, what blesses a father's heart or a grandfather's heart, you know? I come home one day and my little Lily Cakes is there, and she says, Papa, comes, gives me a big hug and a smooch, you know, and said, Papa, I was thinking about you today. Papa, I drew you a picture. You did? Maybe she brings me her little coloring book, you know, and the yellows and the greens are all over the place. They're outside the lines, you know, but she's done her little best. And man, she was doing this for her papa. And it doesn't matter to me if it's the ugliest drawing that ever existed on planet Earth. That thing's going on a refrigerator. And everybody that comes to the house, why? Because it came from her little heart. See, it came from her heart and it blesses me. And it doesn't matter if it's expensive or not expensive. It doesn't matter. What matters to me, it came from her heart. Now, here's the difference in covenant. Let's take the same situation. Papa's gone from the house. Now, her mother is my daughter. And let's say now, in this situation, my daughter tells her, Lily, okay, I want you to draw a picture today for your grandpa. She said, well, I don't want to. I want to go play in the mud. No, you are going to draw a picture for your grandpa. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, now, if you'll do it, there'll be ice cream. If you don't do it, there's going to be trouble. We just stop there. Blessing, cursing, you know. Well, all right, I'll do it. Draw a picture for Papa. Got to do it. I want the ice cream. When I come home that day and Mama's dragging her almost, making her come to me and say, now tell Papa what you did today. I drew you a picture. Really? Let me see it. Oh, God. Well, that's interesting. Why did you do that? Mama made me. Because I want the ice cream. I see, what would my attitude be? I'd say, well, I'm glad you are learning to obey your mother. I'm glad you're learning to be obedient. Thank you. And I'd bless her and pat her, you know. But boy, she walked off, there'd be a big hole in my heart. Because I'd be thinking, boy, I wish she'd have given it to me because she loved me. I wish it would have come from her heart instead of just obedience. Can you see the difference in covenant? See it? Now let me show you in Scripture. Do y'all love the assimilation? This is a mystery I didn't see for years because there's some things I'm beginning to find that God is almost like hid treasures for us. That's only for assimilators. They're in there, but until you assimilate the books, all of a sudden the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. You never really quite get it. Let me show you one of them. All right, go to John chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to look at two different hearts. And this shouldn't take too long, I don't think. Two different hearts. The heart of Mary and the heart of Judas. Remember what Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Did you ever notice Jesus never equated the devil that high? He never said you can't serve God and the devil. He never says that. He says, no, you can't serve God and mammon. See, money has the power to almost make you your own little god. You have enough of it, you can buy your own island, be your own king, hire your own army, you know. That's the one you got to be careful of, is that love of money, okay? So let's just look at this. We're going to look at two different people in their heart. So John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Now here in a little bit in the Amplified Version, how costly? It tells you about a year's wages for a laborer. I used to drive trucks for a living. That's kind of a normal, you know, working man job. I made about $40,000 a year. So let's just think about that. This offering that she's giving, $40,000, about a year's wages. All right, keep that in mind now. So she took that pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? In the Amplified, that's where it tells you, a year's wages for an ordinary workman, and given to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now you can see the heart here, the two different hearts. Mary is giving a year's wages. I don't think she's sowing a seed to meet her need. She's doing it because of her love for Jesus and appreciation. From her heart she is giving. But Judas, he's watching this with another heart. What does Judas love? He loves the money, okay? Let's look at this same account. I'm learning how to use this strange armor. Go to Matthew 26, starting in verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head, and he set it meet. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Now notice. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. You have to have both of these together to get the whole picture. In the heart of one, a year's wages didn't matter at all. Her heart was full of love for Jesus. In the heart of the other, the love for money, and when he saw that it was gone, I'm going to betray him. And for all eternity, in God's eternal word, Mary's name is listed, and Judas's name is listed. I want to be on the Mary column. I want my money doesn't matter at all, Lord. You're the one that matters. Now, whatever you'd have me do, it doesn't matter. Just have me do what you would have me do. That's all I care about. And it doesn't matter the money. Amen? Amen. All right. I only know two ways to give. One is to, as his steward. I'll just tell you, I may talk about this more, may not get another chance. I'm still learning how to do this. Jim talked about he that's faithful in little is faithful in much, you know. And most of you have heard about the first time the Lord told us to give $10, you know. And at the time, it was all the money in the world. When it's all you have, it's all you have. But that's over the years, you know. I've told you about other times. Here, just recently, just the other day, a few days before we went come up here, I was with somebody, and the Lord doesn't always speak in words, you know. Sometimes he speaks in visions. And we're just talking, like I'd be talking right here, and I saw a check from me to that person. And really to his ministry, for $1,000. $1,000 still is quite a bit of money to us. I'll just tell you. But I was so happy because there was nothing in me anymore that cared at all. There was no fear. See, money can control you two ways. With Judas, he wanted more of it. But with most Christians that I know, that's not really it. It's the fear of not having it. See, but I was so happy. Now, I'm still learning. There was part of me, because I really loved that person I was talking to with, I wanted to give the amount to them personally rather than to their ministry. And I was just starting to roll that over on the inside, and the Lord showed it to me again. I literally saw the check, how it was made out. Okay, do it to their ministry. You just do what the Lord says. Amen? We're all learning how to be stewards. So this value, he may show you an amount on a check. No, I don't know. But that's one way. Seriously, if you're not faithful in that which is another man's, it's really his, isn't it? You know? All right. Father, we just thank you for your spirit. I thank you that your sheep do hear your voice. Father, if you have an amount you would like for anyone here to give tonight, this is the moment. We're listening. Lord, I know if they hear you say an amount, that's what they'll do.